during this year on your behalf in keeping with the constitutional provisions, with the bylaw provisions for the work of the Executive Committee. I'm not going to read all of these. You have the report before you. If you have any questions to ask about any of these actions which have been taken, we want you to feel perfectly free to ask those questions. You might be interested in noting at the bottom of that page the uniform gift annuity rates, which have been adopted during the past year by the Annuity Board and by the Southern Baptist Foundation. And these annuity rates are the annuity rates which are used by all of the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. So there can be no competition between agencies as to the payment of annuity rates. Now, there is one action that was taken by the Executive Committee yesterday, which is not reported, which could not be reported in the Book of Reports. And that has to be with the action taken last year by the convention in Dallas, in which you instructed the Executive Committee to study the matter of a name change and report to the convention this year. There have been several studies that have made. The first was made in the 70 onward study. This was sent as a part of the validation study to a large number of pastors and laymen. And then in the February meeting of the Executive Committee, it was felt that further study was made, so we asked the Department of Research and Statistics of the Baptist Sunday School Board, and let me say in parenthesis that this department of the Sunday School Board provides an invaluable service to us as Southern Baptist, to make a further study of a very selected list, which was selected with great care in order to make it as accurate as possible. This report was received just a few days ago from the Department of Research and Statistics. The report indicated that there were some 41 names suggested by people who were questioned for the Southern Baptist Convention. I think one of the most ingenious came from a wonderful lady who has a great deal of initiative, and she said, "My suggestion is that we just eliminate the letter U from the word Southern and spell it S-O-T-H-E-R-N. Then we will pronounce it the same, but it won't mean the same thing." Another lady thought that we ought to really go international, and she suggested a French phrase, Tout le monde, Baptist Convention. But I don't know that that would be altogether understood. Someone might call us tooties for short. Seriously, the report indicated that there was not any one name on which there seemed to be any great degree of agreement. It was interesting to me that the laymen who were questioned were less in favor of any change at all than the ministers who were questioned. And so the Executive Committee yesterday in its meeting, after reviewing this report and seeing that there was no agreement, and noting the fact that the constitutional provision requires that there must be a vote of at least two-thirds for two consecutive years, it was felt that there should be a further study in order that there might be developed a greater spirit of agreement before any presentation is made to this convention. For as Brother Roberts and Dr. Dehoney suggested last night, the substance is a great deal more important than the name. And I do not believe that we want to become fragmented when the research which has been conducted indicates that there is no real center of agreement over the discussion of various names until further study is made. And so the Executive Committee in its meeting yesterday referred this matter back to its Administrative Committee for further study to bring a report to the convention this next year. One of the responsibilities that we have each year in connection with the report of the Executive Committee and in keeping with an action taken by the Southern Baptist Convention several years ago is the presentation of a certificate of appreciation on behalf of the Southern Baptist Convention to the President and to the two Vice Presidents. And so there has been prepared with the signature of the recording secretary and the registration secretary and the official seal of the Southern Baptist Convention a statement which says simply, but I think eloquently, in appreciation of the effective and unselfish service of William Wayne Dehoney as president of the Southern Baptist Convention 1964-1966, this token is authorized in grateful recognition. And I think that all of us would want to stand as I shall have the honor and privilege on behalf of you of presenting this to Dr. Dehoney. Thank you. And to Brother M.B. Carroll, who is the first Vice President of the Southern Baptist Convention, and to Brother Estrada, who is the second Vice President of the Southern Baptist Convention. And now, if you will turn in your books of report to page 37, you will see the recommendations which will be presented by the Executive Committee this year to the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm going to ask the brethren who are going to present these recommendations to line up as quickly as possible so that we can save as much of your time as possible in the presentation of these recommendations. And the first recommendation you note there will be presented by Brother Enoch C. Brown of South Carolina. Brother Brown used to be the president of the Alumni Association of Southwestern Seminary, so we felt that it would be fitting for him to bring this recommendation. If the others will line up just behind him now.
Brother President. Mr. President, members of the convention, recommendation number one. We recommend that Southwestern Seminary be authorized to use such portion as is needed of $260,000 capital needs voted by the convention for the children's building for the completion of the renovation of Fort Worth Hall. Brother President, I move the adoption of recommendation number one.
Is there a second to this motion?
I second the motion. Mr. Chairman, these funds have already been voted by the convention for this purpose. When they got into the actual renovation of Fort Worth Hall, they found that the expenses ran more than they had anticipated. And those of you who used to live in Fort Worth Hall might know the reasons for that. But they found that through many years, the roof had just about been ready to fall. So this involves more funds. So this is a matter of using funds for a different purpose, which have already been voted by the convention.
All right, thank you. The procedure is that each recommendation must be voted upon individually, and then the report as a whole be voted on as voted individually or amended individually. The immediately pending question then is recommendation number one, duly moved and seconded, and any discussion or question. Those in favor, then, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like manner, it's so ordered. We're ready for recommendation number two.
Thank you. Mr. President, we propose that Southern Seminary be authorized to use $60,000 capital needs voted by the convention for renovation of Barnard Hall for the completion of the renovation of Mullins Hall. I so move.
There's a motion. Is there a second? Motion and second that recommendation number two be adopted. Is there discussion or are there questions? If not, those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like order, like manner, it's so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year, the Southern Baptist Convention referred to the Executive Committee for a study and for a recommendation. A motion which was brought by Brother Gregory Walcott, having to do with communication with the motion picture industry. This was referred to a subcommittee of the program committee. An intensive study was made. The person who did a great deal of the research in making this study and who is led out in the development of the program statements for the various agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention is Dr. Albert McClellan, who is the program planning secretary for the executive committee. I'm going to ask Dr. McClellan if he will present recommendation number 3.
We recommend the adoption of the following report on communication with the motion picture industry. 1. There is need for aggressive communication with the motion picture industry producing films for theater distribution in order, 1, to understand the purposes and methods of the producers, and 2, to convey to the influential people in the industry Christian, ethical, and spiritual insights that will add to the quality of their productions. 2, there is also need for leadership to consolidate and make effective to our own Baptist people an estimation of the values, influence, and dangers of the films being shown in the American theaters. 3, although much of the film industry is located on the West Coast, many important decisions are made by writers and producers in other places. Even many of the films are produced elsewhere. Effective communication with this vast industry should be undertaken. However, its location is so widespread that it is presently difficult to know just how this liaison is to be conducted. This requires much additional study. The focus of communication with the industry is at the point of ethics. Adequate exchange requires comprehensive understanding of ethical values as they are derived from the Holy Scripture and are related to today's world. We therefore propose that Southern Baptists undertake, through the Christian Life Commission, appropriate communication with the motion picture industry producing films for theater distribution. 1, seeking to discover and interpret Baptist views on theater-type films through constant study, conferences, seminars, and publications. And 2, communicating with the motion picture industry as needed on points of concern to the churches. I move the adoption of this.
I second the motion, Mr. Chairman. All right, it's been moved and seconded that recommendation number 3 be adopted. Do you have any questions or discussion? I hear none. Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, it's so ordered.
Mr. Claude Garrison, a layman from Nashville, Tennessee, and the chairman of the Finance Committee of the Executive Committee, who has served for 6 years now on the Executive Committee, will rotate this year, will present recommendation number 4.
Recommendation number 4. We recommend that the annuity board be authorized to change its charter to provide for perpetual existence rather than for 50 years. Move the adoption.
Is there a second to this motion?
Second motion.
Motion and second that recommendation number 4 be adopted. Is there any question or discussion? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, it's so ordered.
The Nelson Duke of Missouri will bring the next recommendation, and you will note by this that we are moving just as quickly as we can and as facilities become available in the direction which you have referred this morning. This was following the action last year when the convention indicated in its vote on Denver that they preferred a later date than the May date generally used.
Recommendation number 5. We recommend that the convention site for 1971 be St. Louis, Missouri on June 1 through 4. I'm very happy to move the adoption of this recommendation.
All right, the brother from Missouri says they're glad to have us. Will you have plenty of hotel space for us?
Yes, sir.
Is there a motion or a second to this
motion?
Any question or discussion? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, it's so ordered.
Last year, recommendation number 6 was presented by Dr. Storer as the chairman of a special committee which had been authorized to study the matter of representation in the Constitution. This will be the second report and authorization of the constitutional amendment as provided in the Constitution. To present this will be Dr. Leroy Parker from North Carolina, who has been chairman of our subcommittee on bylaws.
Recommendation number 6. We recommend the following changes in the Constitution and bylaws. 1. That Article 3, Section 1 of the Constitution shall be amended to substitute "from each such church" for "each regular Baptist church." 2. That Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution shall be amended to substitute "from each such church" for "each such Baptist church." 3. That Section 4 be added to Article 3 as follows: "Each messenger shall be a member of the church by which he is appointed." I move you the recommendation number 6.
Is there a second?
I second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion or explanation required? If not, those in favor of recommendation number 6, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, it's so ordered.
The convention adopts each year an operating budget for the convention. The resources for this budget are provided through the cooperative program and through resources provided by action of the convention by the Baptist Sunday School Board. To bring the report of this committee, Evan Crawford from Texas.
Recommendation number 7. We recommend the proposed Southern Baptist Convention operating budget for 1967 as follows. I'll not mention the few changes. You'll find those as it's listed on page 38 of your book of reports. Estimated income, 1967, cooperative program, $200,000. Dividends and interest, $20,000. Sunday School Board, $310,000, making a total of $530,000. Estimated expenditures, convention expense, $75,000. Special committees, $20,000. Executive committee operating, $243,000. Baptist World Alliance, $90,000. Legal and auditing, $2,000. Building operating and maintenance, $14,000, with a total operating $444,000, with a reserve $86,000, making a total $530,000. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
All right. Motion and second that the recommendation number 7, which deals with the convention operating budget, be adopted. Is there any discussion? Are there any questions? If not, those in favor of recommendation number 7, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner? It's so ordered. We're ready for recommendation number 8.
There has been a question raised nearly every year on the Committee on Boards as to what constitutes a full term. Kerfoot was silent on this point, but with the adoption of Robert's Rules of Order, there is some guidance. We felt, though, that there was some need to clarify this to indicate that Robert's Rules of Order would be, the interpretation would be the one followed. So W.D. Morris will bring this recommendation.
Recommendation number 8. We recommend, effective with the Committee on Boards elected by the 1966 convention, that the definition of full term in Robert's Rules of Order be followed, which states, in filling vacancies for unexpired terms, an officer who has served more than half of a term is considered to have served a full term in that office. I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and second. Recommendation number 8 be adopted. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, it's so ordered. Recommendation number 9.
Mr. Chairman, one of the most important recommendations which is brought by the Executive Committee, one that involves the greatest amount of work, of prayer, of blood, sweat, and tears sometimes, is the recommendation which is made to you on the allocation of cooperative program funds to the various agencies. Resources which you provide through your own tithes and offerings and through the sharing of your church in the cooperative program. Dr. W. Douglas Hudgens, the chairman of the executive committee, will bring this recommendation for you and for your approval or change at this time.
Mr. President, may I ask for 30 seconds of personal privilege and observation? Members of the convention, it has just occurred to me, and as it has to many of you perhaps in the last 30 minutes, that the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention came into actual functional being in the convention at Louisville, Kentucky in 1927. Next year, therefore, in Miami Beach, will mark the 40th year of the executive committee as it is now constituted and which has grown subsequent to its organization. Mr. President, may I simply observe this with the thought that perhaps the Committee on Order of Business might like to ascertain how many, if any, original members of that committee would be present next year and might, in some appropriate fashion, put a little slot in the program that would mark that historical event. Mr. President, that's my personal observation. Perhaps one of the most important moments in this convention has to do with mere figures. And sometimes, particularly when you and I try to balance our checkbook, they are vexing indeed. But when a convention the size of ours deals in a total of nearly $25 million a year, it is indisputable that this moment is a very important moment. On behalf of our executive secretary and the 57 men on the women on the executive committee, may I say to some of you who perhaps are attending your first Southern Baptist Convention that this budget is arrived at in what we hope is a fair and a very just manner. In February, when the executive committee meets in its semi-annual session, a full day is given to our agencies, commissions, and organizations to come before the full committee with all visitors who like to be present to tell their institutional story and to present their needs. This is done not in any committee behind closed doors, but before the entire executive committee and all of those who like to sit in for that day. Then the program committee, of which Dr. M.B. Carroll this past year has been the chairman, takes these requests and lays alongside those requests the projected income for the year at hand. And let me say for John Williams, our statistician and accountant, that for the last 8 or 9 years, his mathematical slide rule has been within 0.5% correct. At least that's what I'm told. I'm no accountant and I take somebody's word for it. But over against what we may anticipate, the committee then takes the requests and in the light of its best judgment and in prayer comes the following day to present its recommendation to the full executive committee. Now, this report that we bring to you today is the report brought by the program committee to the executive committee last February. In the discussion of their report to the committee, there were some problems raised, some questions asked, and some very, very sincere requests made. But simply for your information, there was no disposition on the part of the executive committee, no motion made, as I recall, for any change in the report made by the program committee, and thus this report brought to you today does not satisfy our hearts. There are many areas of need which herein are not provided, but with the funds available, we are doing what we feel is the best we know how. Now, to the report. The report for the operating budget for 1967 is as follows. For convention operating expense, $200,000. No change over the year previous. The Foreign Mission Board for 1967, $11,780,300. Or an increase of $487,467. The Home Mission Board, $4,024,200, an increase over the year previous, $174,783. Our Annuity Board, $250,000, no change. The Sunday School Board, of course, does not share in cooperative program money. Our $3,833,000, or an increase of $200,000. The foundation, $61,800, an increase of $1,800. Southern Baptist Hospital Commission, $36,000, an increase of $1,000. The American Seminary at Nashville, $90,600, or an increase of $2,600. The Brotherhood Commission, $226,100, an increase of $21,100. But in that increase is an item of $15,000 the year previous provided from the Home Mission Board to certain areas of work of the Brotherhood Commission. This budget takes it out of the Home Mission Board category and puts it into the Brotherhood Commission as it rightfully should be. The Christian Life Commission, $100,000, an increase of $10,000. The Education Commission, $94,000, an increase of $6,000. The Historical Commission, $90,500, an increase of $7,500. The Radio and Television Commission, $977,000, an increase of $77,000. The Stewardship Commission, no change. The Public Affairs Committee, $104,000, an increase of $600,000. Sir? $6,000? Did I say $600? Oh, what a difference. Not $600, certainly $6,000. Thank you very much. That is a total of operational monies for 1967 proposed of $21,950,500. Already authorized and voted in the capital needs program is an annual figure of $2,249,500. That is for capital needs, a part of the previously adopted program and already set aside by this convention. Therefore, the total budget recommended to you for 67 is $24,200,000. Now, another word needs to be said. This does not anticipate an advance in which all overage will go to our mission boards. This is our total anticipation. And the increase to the home and foreign boards has taken into consideration the probabilities of what may be the slight advance over and above as we've had it in times past. The advance is cut out, except that you will notice in number 6 that any money received over and above $24,200,000 will go 2/3 to the Foreign Board, 1/3 to the Home Mission Board. Mr. President, with the unanimous endorsement and recommendation of your 57-member executive committee, I make a motion that this convention adopt as presented this budget for 1967.
There's a motion and second. Is there any discussion or question? Those in favor then, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, and I commend this executive committee and the finance committee for the superb job that they do every year. All of us know what a problem it is to work out a budget in the local church and just multiply that those budget problems and trying to meet all the needs with the limited resources and fulfill the desires of every person and get people together on a budget. Just multiply that 100 times or more and you have something of the problem faced by our executive committee and the finance committee of it. We're ready for the next recommendation, recommendation number 10.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that all of us, as we read these figures, we may think in terms of dollars and cents. But I think it would be well for us this morning, as we think of this budget, to think in terms of these missionaries that Brother Dahoney told us about last night, to think in terms of flesh and blood, to think in terms of the beating heart, to think in terms of expressions of compassion and concern on the part of men and women for a lost and needy world. It's not enough just to think in terms of addition and subtraction, but to think in terms of human personality and world need. And this is the purpose of the program statements, which we have been struggling through and working with as Southern Baptists for the past 7 years, is to try to describe how we use the resources, and so we as Southern Baptists can understand in a more precise way just how we use the resources to do the work which you have commissioned us and which we are seeking to do to bring this world to God through Jesus Christ. We have come to the end of the first step, really, in the development of these program statements, and I'm going to ask Dr. Carroll, who has served this year as the chairman of our program committee and done a most effective job, if he will present the first section of the recommendations on the program statements to this convention. Dr. Carroll, take it.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth. And may I underscore the thing that Dr. Ruth has just pointed out about the years of work that have gone into this report. It looks so simple and fast for us to consider them and adopt them here, but in the background, there are many hours of tedious work over the past 7 years. The part that I bring will be the first part of the final report on the program statements of the boards and agencies. I'd like to tell you that our committee, our program committee, and executive committee are both indebted to Dr. Albert McClellan, the executive secretary of this program work of our Southern Baptist Convention, who has worked with the boards and agencies as well as with our committee, and he and Dr. Ruth have been in on practically all of the readings of these reports that you hear in these convention presentations. For example, the report that I bring to you now has been read in its final form by the subcommittee on boards. It has been read as it was brought from that subcommittee by the entire program committee, and then it was read by the executive committee. It's had three readings in the form that you are receiving it today. It's found in your book of reports, beginning on page 39, continuing on pages 40, 41, and 42. Going from the report on the Historical Commission down through the report on the Education Commission, on page 42. The opening sentence under recommendation number 10 is printed in your book of reports, needs to be changed. There's a printing error that we noted at the last minute on this. And this should read, we recommend the adoption of the objectives for program statements previously approved by the convention as follows. And so for these boards and agencies listed under the subheads of this section of the report, their program statements have already been approved by the convention, and our recommendation is that these objective statements, statement of objective of each of these agencies as listed, be approved by the convention today without reading. I make a motion that this part of the report be adopted.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Motion and a second that they that we adopt these objectives of program statements without reading. Is there any question? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed, in like manner, it's so ordered.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that brother thought somebody was going to start reading on this, and I know he had already read it last night. I heard one man took these out and read them between innings. Actually, these program statements are not presenting new programs, which the Southern Baptist Convention has not previously approved, but is describing in more precise language the programs which these agencies are already involved in. All of these have been approved by the responsible agencies involved. And to present recommendation number 11, Brother C. Eugene Whitlow from New Mexico.
Recommendation number 11. We recommend the adoption of the program statement for the American Baptist Theological Seminary Commission as follows. And, Mr. President, the complete statement is listed in detail on pages 43 and 44 of the Book of Reports, and I move its adoption.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Is a motion and second that these program statements in recommendation number 11 be adopted? Any discussion or question? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed, in like manner, it's so ordered.
And to bring recommendation number 12, James L. Plights of Florida.
You'll note some corrections to the recommendation number 12. On your second day convention bulletin, I will not read these since they're largely a matter of wording. Recommendation number 12 is as follows. We recommend the adoption of the program statement of the Foreign Mission Board as follows. The ultimate objective of the Foreign Mission Board is to do everything possible to bring all men in other lands around the world to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as rapidly as possible, and to involve them in Christian growth and service as members of indigenous churches. The foregoing general statement of objective expresses itself in several more specific objectives. One, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively and winningly to all the people of other lands. Two, to establish New Testament churches as basic units for all Christian fellowship and work. Three, to utilize with necessary adaptation proven principles and methods of evangelism and church development. Four, to encourage the Baptist churches to unite cooperatively into denominational organizations through which they can carry out their own kingdom responsibilities. Five, to minister to human need and Christian love through service agencies such as schools, hospitals, clinics, goodwill centers, and publishing houses. Six, to train and prepare those whom the Lord calls to preach and serve in special ministries. Seven, to create a Christian outlook on life based upon ethical and moral principles in the New Testament. Eight, to appoint, send, and maintain an ever-increasing number of God-called and otherwise qualified missionaries. Nine, to discharge its responsibilities in homeland cultivation of foreign missionary knowledge, concern, involvement, and support. I move the adoption of this recommendation.
All right, there's a motion and second that this program statement The objective which has just been read and the rest of the program as printed here but not read be adopted. Are there questions or is there discussion? All right. I recognize the brother here. Will you step forward and give your name and where you're from and the purpose for which you want recognition?
I'm Robert Alley, a messenger from the First Baptist Church, Richmond, Virginia, and I rise to raise a question concerning recommendation number 12 and to make certain basic observations, sir.
All right. Now, you are just discussing and making observations. You have no amendment or motion.
I have a motion to refer.
All right, then.
Yes, sir.
I recognize you for discussion.
Ladies and gentlemen, messengers to this convention, I wish to take a very few minutes of your time to say a very few things about this report about the Foreign Mission Board. The basic purpose and intention of the Christian Church is the mission of the Church, in my estimation. And I raise, therefore, in light of that conviction, question concerning recommendation number 12, page 45, under development number 5, and page 46, under relationships, section 3. Very briefly, my concern is this. In 1925, the cooperative program was undertaken by the Southern Baptist Convention with the full understanding that the Lottie Moon Christmas offering would be an instrument of the Woman's Missionary Union. In 1926, following a year of rather serious problems for the Foreign Mission Board in which it involved itself in a special offering in addition to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, the Foreign Mission Board came to the Southern Baptist Convention with the request to be instructed to secure designated gifts to meet necessities, which at that time included a debt of over $1 million. The answer of the convention in 1926 was as follows. To answer this question affirmatively, that is, to allow for a securing of designated gifts by the Foreign Mission Board, we believe would be tantamount to a virtual abandonment of the cooperative program, and we do not believe the convention is ready to entertain that proposition. To allow the foreign board the privilege suggested would seem to require the extension of similar privilege to all the other special interests. There is widespread belief that a more effective remedy would be a stricter observance of the cooperative principle rather than give convention authority and sanction to such appeals and campaigns. It is further to be noted that in 1947, the business and financial plan of the Southern Baptist Convention was changed in order to more strictly enforce a restriction on special offerings and gifts, and specific exception was given to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering. These exceptions were understood at the time in 1947, quite obviously, as relating primarily and only to offerings of Woman's Missionary Union and not special offerings of convention agencies. It is, therefore, my concern for the cooperative program and my concern for the Foreign Mission Board and its needs, which include a request of over $1,300,000 for the coming fiscal year, that prompts me to request a referral and make one or two observations. The Foreign Mission Board needs money, and so do the other institutions of this convention, both state and southwide. The seminaries requested $617,000 increase for 1967, received $200,000. The Foreign Mission Board cannot meet its needs without the educational facilities provided at the state and the Southern Baptist level. Therefore, sir, recognizing the need of the Foreign Mission Board and recognizing the desperate need of the Foreign Mission Board for the agencies of our convention, and recognizing what I believe to be a desperate threat to the cooperative program when we see the designations now rising to $17 million over against $22 million for cooperative program funds. If this convention wishes now to instruct us to take a special offering, which is suggested and clearly set forth in Relationships Part 3, I would urgently request that the Executive Committee take this under advisement and bring it back to us in the form of a recommendation which will clearly set forth its intentions concerning a special offering. Therefore, sir, I recommend a referral of Section 3 of Relationships and also Section 5 of Support of Development on page 45 to the Executive Committee with request for report and action in 1967. Thank you, sir.
Now, there's a motion to refer. Do I hear a second? All right. Now, let me clearly state where we stand. Wait till I state it, and then I'll... Wait. Let me state where we are. We have a motion and a second to refer back to the Executive Committee for further study Section 5 under development on page 45 and all of sections on relationships on page 46. Is this clear? Oh, just the... Just Section 3 under relationships. Now, consult your booklet and see what we're talking about. We refer back to the Executive Committee, 5 under development, and 3 under relationships. Now, this motion and second is debatable only as to the advisability of referral. We will not debate the merits of the question itself. So I'm going to ask that those who want to discuss it limit their discussion to the wisdom of referral. Is it wise to refer back? Or does it need to be referred back? Or has sufficient study been done? Or the reasons why we should or should not refer it? We will not discuss the merits of the main motion itself. So are there those who want to discuss and debate the question of referral?
Brother President, this is M.B. Carroll. I happen to serve as chairman of the program committee, and this is a part of our report. This matter came up yesterday in our executive committee meeting just prior to the sessions of the convention. It's probably not discreet of me to say that we would not want to consider this again, but I do rise to bring this point for your consideration, that the points that our brother has made concerning this were taken into account by our committee. As a matter of fact, more than half of all of the program statement that you have adopted today and in previous years is just a matter of putting into definite printed form things that we have been doing in Southern Baptist for many years and clarifying it. So we are aware of the implications of this from the standpoint of our committee, and when this was presented in the full session of the Executive Committee yesterday, it was unanimously decided, as far as the committee was concerned, that it was satisfied with the report as it is. So for that reason, we would hope that this motion would not be passed by the convention that is asked for referral back for further study.
All right. Thank you, Brother Carroll. I'm going to ask the chairman of the executive committee to come forward here, if you will, Dr. Hudgens. Brother Doug, now, this is a motion to refer back to the executive committee these two items for further study, for further light. Now, I think you ought to tell us how much study the executive committee has done on this, where you've come out, is the executive committee together on it, and what would you do, or what other possible position or recommendation could you have if you studied it further?
Brother President, I think I might report this. Yesterday, in the pre-convention meeting of the executive committee, Brother Alley was recognized and heard and listened to with great interest, and we spent some 20 or 25 or 30 minutes, as I recall, in the discussion of this matter. And if I understand Brother Alley's feeling, it is the same thing that we discussed in the executive committee yesterday. And I might report, without prejudicing his position one way or the other, for I'm not seeking to do that, I simply report that it was the overwhelming feeling of the executive committee, in fact, with practically no dissenting vote whatsoever, that this recommendation, as it stands, should not be changed. And therefore, even though Brother Alley very sincerely and very graciously and very kindly and possessed of a deep conviction, although he presented it in all sincerity, the committee did not feel that they could agree with him. And I only report, Brother President, what was done yesterday, and I can only guess, certainly not predict, that if it were referred to your executive committee, my guess is that they would stand by their feeling of the last 5 or 6 years as they've studied this program statement. Without any prejudice to him or to the committee, I simply report to you what transpired yesterday. Is that what you want?
All right. Thank you. The question has been called for. Dr. Cawthon asked for the personal privilege of making a statement. Would you like to hear, Dr. Cawthon? All right. Dr. Cawthon.
Brother President, I earnestly trust this convention will not see fit to refer this in any way, because this statement, as you find here, as said earlier by Dr. Ruth, is a description of the way your agencies of your convention actually do their work. This is describing what has been true for a long, long time in the story of foreign missions. In fact, the reliance of your missionary labor upon both the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is long-standing, historic, and well understood. Ever since 1888, when Miss Lottie Moon made an appeal out of China for additional help because of critical and urgent need, the Lottie Moon offering has moved forward across the years, finding response in the hearts of Southern Baptists. These statements, to which reference has been made, if you'll notice on the page 45 under item 5, it says rely upon the churches for financial support of the missionaries through the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I could not find words enough to thank you for the support you have given across these many, many, many years through the Lottie Moon offering and the cooperative program for your missionaries around the world. This is simply a statement of what has been true ever since this offering was born and ever since the cooperative program came into existence. On page 46, the section that is under consideration is parenthesis 3 under item called relationships, which says we are related to Woman's Missionary Union and the Brotherhood Commission for their planning and promotion of the Weeks of Prayer for Foreign Missions and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. Now may I say, the Foreign Mission Board does not and never has borne the burden of promoting the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We are related to the promotion of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering exactly as we are related to the promotion of the cooperative program. Your Foreign Mission Board stands ready to prepare any material, write any kind of article, travel any thousands of miles, engage in any kind of gatherings to say to Southern Baptists and all others who would like to know how much the cooperative program means to all our labor at home and around the world. But to our many, many brethren and sisters who, as pastors and state organizations and SBC organization, carry the burden of this promotion, we look with great joy and appreciation. But we stand ready to strengthen your hand on every call. In like manner with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, there is a debt of gratitude to Woman's Missionary Union that we can never properly express or repay. For a labor of love goes on year by year by these who represent this great part of our missionary labor. The Foreign Mission Board stands ready to do anything Woman's Missionary Union will call upon us to do by way of preparation of materials, giving any word of testimony, traveling any thousands of miles, giving any kind of report that might say to Southern Baptists anytime, anywhere, what the Lottie Moon Christmas offering really means. This statement in your book, in this program statement, merely describes exactly what has gone on decade after decade after decade and must go on as these people of God do this labor. And Foreign Mission Board stands by to say we bear our testimony as to its necessity and what it means. Therefore, my brethren, to refer it for further study is not actually a study of anything new being proposed. It is a study of what has been historically true since 1888. And may I remind us, every time the Southern Baptist Convention has ever voiced itself in its history relative to our giving, it has always specifically underscored the place and the meaning and the value of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Thus I stand on behalf of your missionaries, on behalf of work around the world, on behalf of your Foreign Mission Board to say, thank you, Southern Baptists. God bless you, and let's keep going for the glory of Jesus.
Thank you, Dr. Cawthon. If you'll let me make a statement here just a moment. I've been in consultation with Brother Alley, and Brother Alley has asked for a personal privilege. He'd like 1 minute to clarify what his purposes are so that you won't misunderstand. He wants 1 minute of personal privilege to clarify it, and then he'd like to call for a vote on the question. Now, is that satisfactory with you? I think we'd like to give him time and let him say what, try to interpret what he's saying to us, and then we will vote on the question of referral. Is that satisfactory? All right, Brother Alley, come right on. We gladly hear you.
Thank you, Mr. President and messengers of the convention. Two things and two things only. First of all, that my intention in referring this matter back to the executive committee was that the executive committee would consider this matter in terms of it being now an authorization of a special offering by the Foreign Mission Board. I am in no way seeking to undermine the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I believe in it. I know the Foreign Mission Board needs it and needs it desperately. And that is exactly why I am asking for this careful consideration of the specific question of a special offering, what it will do and how it will be handled if this convention wishes so to authorize, and not simply to place it in as an accomplished fact, since the Foreign Mission Board is now spending near $500,000 on promotion a year to actually enlist support for what is desperately needed. This is the purpose. I appreciate your hearing this. I appreciated the executive committee yesterday. I believe with all my soul this is the most important issue before us today, and I desperately ask you to consider it carefully.
Thank you, Brother Alley, and we thank you for your very fine. So we need a statement here.
Yes,
all
we do.
Right. All right.
Brother President, would you like to have a statement of fact for you?
Let me ask for it.
You ask.
Let me ask. Dr. Cawthon has asked for personal privilege to make a statement of fact. And I'm going to ask how many would like to hear Dr. Cawthon. Lift your hand. All right. Those who are ready to vote and you do not want to hear him, would you lift your hand? All right. Dr. Cawthon, make your statement.
The statement of fact is merely a matter of accuracy, which I hope can be simply shared. Unless I misunderstood, Mr. Alley referred to $500,000 of promotion of the Lottie Moon offering. The facts of the matter, supported by audits of the board, indicate that the materials produced in support of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering upon the request of Woman's Missionary Union, item by item by item, amount to roughly $60,000. I'm so glad we can put $60,000 of that money in and you respond like you did respond. Let me say, do you know what you did? This last offering, $13,124,000. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've had a very fine spirit and a very fine discussion here, and all have had a chance to share in it. We're ready for the question now, and the question is... All right, the previous question has been called for. Now, it requires a 2/3 vote for us to vote on this. Now, let's clarify it. I'm going to take a vote on the previous question. Now, the vote on the previous question is simply this, whether you're going to vote or not. Whether you're going to vote or not. It'll require two-thirds majority to shut off debate and vote on this motion to refer. Do you understand? Those in favor, then, of cutting off debate and in favor of the previous question, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed in like manner, I rule that debate is closed and we're ready to vote now then on the motion to refer. The motion is to refer back to the executive committee item 5 under development and item 3 under relationships on page 45 and 46. Those in favor of referral back to the executive committee, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed in like manner, the motion to refer fails, and we come back to the main motion. The main motion.